Welcome to the Pod Crash. I'm here with Zach.
He's a showman. I heard he's a Jewish kid with soul.
Epic stadium bands that is going to put on one of those festival type shows.
There's ACL, there's Fun Fun Fun.
Mile High.
Outside Land.
Jazz Fest. That you're going to remember for a long time.
The Coachella. We just wrapped up a night of seeing Jay-Z and then Crooked Vultures and LCD Sound System and She and Him and Yaysayer, and we're ready to talk about it.
And finally I heard it, and it was big.
You know me, I'll be booping.
It's a little more funny.
See a couple songs up close and then go like, whoa!
I listen to a lot of bands with stupid-ass lyrics like Fish and I'm Frisbee McGee.
I'm Zach T. Bloom with Andy Shore, and together we are the Festival Crashers.
Welcome to the Free Press Summerfest Post Pod Crash. It's 3:12 in the morning, Monday morning now. Caitlin just drove us 3 hours back from Houston, heads in our hands. We're pretty exhausted, but we'll squeeze out a podcast for you. It was an awesome festival, exhausting, but totally worth it. 100 degree days out in the sun. Caitlin, first thing we noticed was how long the festival was, lengthwise, I guess. And heat, what would you say is sticking out?
In terms of hours spent at the festival?
I meant like how lengthwise the festival
was. Oh, like how spread out. Okay, right. The physical layout of the festival. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I think, you know, not being familiar with Houston at all, I was imagining some kind of park or something similar to Austin City Limits, and it wasn't that at all. It's much more a street festival than anything. And it's even the whole layout of it, it's more like tents that are selling things than stages, really, which maybe that's typical, but you just don't notice it as much when it's not like laid out in front of you. But yeah, it was a long, what do you say, like a mile?
Yeah, span? Probably more like 4 or 5 blocks.
Okay.
It felt long because it was real hot out there all day. We were in that sun 10 hours a day. But there was really one special thing about the festival that we noticed was how much they cooled us off with water. I've never experienced this in a festival. Like, nonstop, they had people spraying us down with these either misting spray, big spray hoses, or these, like, one of those water guns where you propel it out in a squeeze tube.
Yeah.
And they were doing that all day long, just keeping us totally wet and hydrated. And it was helpful. More festivals need to start doing that.
Definitely, for sure.
That was really helpful. The music started off great. There's a couple odd choices. I felt like there's a lot of weird finagling things going on with the schedule, especially like on the headlining stage.
Sure.
Well, how do you want to break down? Should we start with our favorites? Do you want to talk about surprises? I think we were both surprised that Weezer was our favorite show of the festival.
That's probably true.
I mean, I had them as a 5 going in. You knew we were going to like it.
Yeah.
But I think they brought the combination of the best possible...
For them, it was the best possible set list they could have offered me or you,
yeah,
I think.
I mean, we got 8 songs off the Blue Album, almost the entire thing.
Which is the one that I know.
And, no, they killed it. Beginning to end, that was the last show we saw of the festival, and they ended with Fireworks for Buddy Holly. They had Island in the Sun with Rivers just playing electric guitar, and then the band joining him for the end. I mean, there were so many highlights of that show.
They actually played stuff off of Pinkerton, which we didn't think was going to happen at all.
They got El Scorcho and Across the Sea. We got a B-side from the Blue Album in Suzanne. It was excellent. I put together my top 10, and we were talking about that on the ride home. Maybe we can go through. Let's see. You had Little O pretty high up. I had them at number 9 coming in.
Oh, man. I don't know what they're... I mean, I'm right, sure
you
heard,
I think you had them around 3 or 4. I'll just go from the bottom up and say... but
not anymore.
No.
No.
No, not anymore. What?
I mean, they were awesome. Little O was fantastic.
They were fantastic
as always, and they really brought great energy out. Especially because they were. I mean, they were certainly. They were on the first day, and it was a hotter part of the day. And they were actually. They weren't on the main field. They were out off on the street, so it was just like extra hot standing on pavement. But they still were just incredible. And
we had to duck under the side of their stage to stay out of the heat on that one, but which was nice because we felt like we were almost backstage.
Yeah.
So we got a really unique view. We have a video we put up on Festival Crashers. And, you know, that's one of the things, like all the other acts that we took video of, you know, you focus on the lead singer, guitarist, and that's it. But with these guys, it was all 7 of them were so interesting to watch. I found myself switching around a lot. They were really fantastic. Another local Austin performer that lived up to our expectations, and then some, was Zeely.
Mm-hmm.
That was fantastic. And we were shocked. We knew that Black and White Ears weren't going to be there to work with him. But
sure.
They sampled it. What's that one called?
Feed the Lion is a mashup that he does with one of the Black and White Ear songs, and it's just stupendous. Like, I liked it the first time I heard it. That was my introduction to Zeeley at all, and I really didn't think he would play it, and so when he did, it was a really nice treat. But even if he hadn't, I mean, what's great about him is he's really great with interacting with the audience. He's an incredible, like...
Like, he saw you singing along to that one. He's like, you know it.
Yeah, but he's incredible at rhyming. I mean, he's just so fast. Like, he spits out lyrics really quickly, but you can still understand all of, like, everything he's saying. And he's really political, which I like. So.
He even made fun of me so fast that I didn't even realize it until a second afterwards. I had my bright yellow-green tennis ball-colored I Heart Fest shirt on. And he made some rhyme about the neon I Heart Fest kid. And it took me a minute to be like, oh, he's talking about me right now.
So that everyone else got it, though. Whole rest of the audience looked at you.
I was a little zoning out.
A little bit.
But Austin represented well. It was weird to be hearing... How do you feel, Houston?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even feel right about responding to be that. Honest. No. Like, I felt very awkward. I don't know. Yeah,
that, and he that did it, too, because he's like, Houston, you know, we got a lot going on in Austin, but Houston's where it's at. And I went, no, dang. He's like, maybe somebody in the back could disagree with me from Houston. And I'd be like, we're from Austin. But, yeah, they both represented really well. I was proud of both those guys.
For sure. And Black Joe Lewis was amazing.
Unfortunately, we just got to see a couple songs.
Sure, but I mean, like, you know.
Yeah, and when we came back, he was still going really strong and built momentum.
And, so. I mean, we sat off in a tent for the Black Angels, but they sounded huge. So I think Austin did a good job of representing at the festival.
And we finally got you to enjoy some Ween. It was at the end of an extremely long day where we'd... left at like 8:30 in the morning, driven for 3 hours, and then been in the unbelievable sun for 8 or 9, 10 hours.
On 4 hours of sleep.
On 4 hours of sleep, too, yeah. We didn't get any sleep the night before the festival started, and made it all the way to the end of Ween. And even though they had one of the most bizarre set lists I've ever seen, with everything from spinal meningitis and mutilated lips, which had you terrified.
No, spinal meningitis had me terrified. Yeah. That song is terrifying. That is nightmare music.
It is nightmare music. But, you know, they had Bowie Let's Dance, which was
that was amazing.
Gigantic crowd pleaser.
That was fantastic.
And they ended with Confetti for Roses Are Free, and brought out some ones we liked, like
Mollusk.
The Mollusk.
Yeah.
And, no, they put in a real solid show, and Dean Ween took over. That was by far the hardest electric guitar we heard all weekend.
Oh, for sure. Solos. No question.
So that was an interesting end to day one. But before that, we really had to suffer through...
Well, it's unfortunate, because we feel like we suffered through Beirut. I think if we had been sitting back, relaxing with water and food on the grass, like, we wouldn't have hated it so much.
Right.
But, I mean, when you're standing there, like... And for me, I didn't feel like I was even standing there for a purpose at that point. I was just standing there to possibly enjoy Ween. And so it was just excruciating because every song sounded like every other song. Like, I think I told you, I mean, whenever they would start a song, I was like, and people would start clapping.
I thought, heard this one 3 times.
Yeah, they just played this song. Why are you excited again? And also I noticed he even used the same lyric in three different songs. It was like something about, it's been a long time since I've seen you smile, as in like 3 songs. And maybe that's a thing that I'm just, as a non-fan, like wasn't aware of. But
the horns sounded good in that band. It sounded like
I don't know. I mean, it just, like I said, it reminded me of like high school band kids who like couldn't get over it. And so they were like, let's do this. And then I just, I don't know. I was very bitter, I think, at that point, because I was so tired and dehydrated and I just wanted them to stop. So it's unfortunate because I was looking forward to that show and I really thought that I would like it finally, but I just didn't. I don't know.
So I think the biggest surprise of day one was how much we loved Sharon Jones. Like, I knew I loved her, but...
Yeah, I had never seen her before. I knew I was going to love her, and she was really stupendous. I mean, she was the best show of that day.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Hands down. I mean,
her voice, her singing, it was too hot for her to do her normal barefoot thing, even though she put a towel down.
She tried it out.
She had her fringe dress on and was shimmying around, and she was a part of my favorite guest dancers on stage that she brought out.
Yeah.
She always has this thing about bringing an awkward-looking white guy on stage to dance with her, and it's always an odd pairing with the two of them. But somehow these guys, like, somehow have moves and know how to interact with her, and this guy really, like, played off her really well.
It was great. It reminded me of in Little Miss Sunshine when Paul Dano kind of does an awkward, like, weird face dance. It was totally just like that. And it was really funny and really, really cool. And her backing band is amazing as well. Yes. And they support her really well. They clearly, like, are on her team. So, definitely.
They were fantastic.
It was great. It was a really great show. I was sad. We left a little early because we were starving, I think.
Right. I think we missed two songs to get to.
Yeah. Which was unfortunate. But, but yeah, she was fantastic.
But on the other hand, there was Dancers Brought on Stage that was really bad.
Oh, God.
And it was a wonder for you. Like, it really took away from the show a bit.
It did. It really did.
Big Boy, which I thought was a great show. I mean, I know you didn't love it nearly as much, but...
I definitely, like, he did Miss Jackson, which I wasn't expecting at all, and that was, you know, the song in high school or whatever, right.
And
so
he did
was
Rosa
cool.
Parks and Bombs Over Baghdad and Fresh and Clean, mm-hmm. and, I mean, a lot of Outkast, and his solo stuff.
Chatterbug, obviously.
Right. Ghetto Music, he did a few things.
And he had a bunch of guests up as well, although I didn't know who any of them were. I mean, I think they were all part of UGK, because that's what I kept hearing people say, mm-hmm. but, no, he himself was really fun to watch. He's a really good stage presence, but...
So he brought up all these girls who seemed really underage. They had no rhythm, and they were trying to dance somewhat sexily around him, but there was no sexuality behind it.
No, because they were children. It was really uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't know. And it got a little better towards the end when he brought, like, women of age up to dance.
It didn't, though, because okay, it was objectifying, and, like, it was not... I mean, as a female, I was not, like, it didn't do anything for me, and it made me, like, extra uncomfortable to be around a bunch of men who possibly it did do something for, and I was just like, oh, no, I want to not be here right now.
But today we had four acts that I rated at 9 or above, which was an unbelievable way to end the festival strong. Mm-hmm. The first in that series was one of our favorite touring bands around, Yesayer, who got screwed again with an extremely hot set. That was the peak heat of the day. It was around 100 degrees.
Yeah, I was dancing a lot, wildly, and there were moments where I thought,
the band was struggling.
Oh, they were super struggling. They were really sweet, though. Like, they were throwing water on the crowd, and, like, maybe it was just Ira. Mm-hmm. I didn't notice if Chris was doing
Chris
it
was like,
Chris was complaining.
He's like, I've
hardcore.
Never been so hot in my entire life. He's like, I love Texas. We'll come back, but not in the middle of the day ever again.
Just at night.
Who
Texas
has a pool we can watch the game?
The game,
And then Ira's like, I'm chilly. he had a lot of nip slip going on with his tank top. But he was fantastic as always.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because the only song that he really got to solo in was Ambling Alp at the end, mm-hmm. which, you know. It kind
of
gets lost.
And we didn't get
two of our
favorites.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Right. I mean, they just didn't have that much time really to play mm-hmm. in. But it was still, I mean, that for me was like definitely, that they were probably my second favorite act just because
right.
I will follow them to the ends of the earth.
I had them at number two as well.
Yeah.
And then after them on the same stage was Chromeo. And right between Yesayer and Chromeo, it was raining for a bit, which cooled us off
which was
really
lovely.
Nicely.
It was perfect. And it was just, it looked like it was going to be really bad, but it ended up raining for
15, 20 minutes or so in between?
2 minutes. I'm saying two. It was not even that long. It was like a 5 minute little, like...
I'm going to say like 8.
I don't think that's true. I think it was 5 tops. I think it was less than 5, but I'll say 5.
There were a couple. It came back later for a few more minutes. I'm sticking with that. Anyway, finally I got to see a full Chromeo set.
You did.
And it was spectacular.
It was really good. The crowd kind of sucked, but...
A-Track's older brother. He's a darling frontman.
Yes.
He had those cool shades on.
Darling, I could see Darling, but
he's
also
charming.
Rockstar.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, they're like, those guys own that stage. And I love that they're so self-indulgent and they like will change your own words to every song to include their name in it. I thought that was hilarious. And
I like how they kind of shared the drumming too, how they had like
the
cowbell and the little mm-hmm. tiny drum set up in between them where they just grab sticks and start beating on it.
They were great. They were really fun.
It was a fun lineup. People were dancing for every song.
Yeah.
But the band that got the biggest response of the whole day, even without the catalog that people knew to back it up, was Cut Copy. They had people going crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the first show that people were consistently jumping up and down, and they were all
they
the
got
way up
the whole
hill.
Crowd jumping up and down, and that was really cool to be a part of. Like, that just felt really awesome because like everyone was jumping,
like
every
way
person.
Up the hill, and that was part of the people who were sitting and down and talking for most of the other shows.
Plus, that hill was steep.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm shocked that
I know people didn't fall.
Yeah,
it was pretty wild. But Cut Copy, I mean, I've been listening to Zonoscope a lot, but I need to get more of their stuff. They're really. Really delivered.
Yeah, and their lead guitarist, I guess, is awesome to watch. He's super fun. He was like twirling around on stage in between songs and just like so in his own little world. And then the lead singer guy is the like one of the most awkward dancers. He kept doing like this like shuttle up arms thing, which was very hilarious to me. I don't know, but they're super fun to watch.
Yeah.
And they, you know, and they loved the Houston crowd. I don't know that they've ever like, had that kind of response.
No,
before.
They're like, you guys got to come to every show.
Yeah.
They got really excited. Yeah. They're like, we've never been to Houston, but
it was really cool. And it was cool. Like to be there with all those kids getting that excited about it. It was
Definitely. Like, it
made it more fun. So
I had them as my number five show between Chromeo and Big Boy. So they were up there for me.
Yeah, no, they were farther up for me. I would say Weezer, Yesay, or Sharon Jones.
Cut Copy.
Yeah,
yeah. I could definitely see that.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah.
And we finally got we made it over to
Mean Ween.
I did Mean Ween there. I wrote Wheeze twice. It's where my head's at. And we made it over for Ani DiFranco's Dick.
We did.
I really liked those guys.
They were fun. They were super fun. And I felt bad that we couldn't really support them financially mm-hmm. because they're trying to get all the way back to California.
But they were a fun punk band.
Straight punk, for sure. Not pop punk, as some people may apparently classify them.
No, they're punk, and they kicked ass.
They did.
And they were really sweet. We got to talk to the lead singer after the show.
Mm.
But you said you thought they seemed a little bit nervous.
They did seem a little nervous, but it could have been. I mean, apparently they were hungover, and it was hot as...
It was so hot still,
the Dickens. I was going to say other things.
But, you know, sometimes it takes a creative band name to get your attention, but you got to stick it out once you do it.
Sure.
And they definitely did.
Yeah.
So I was happy we got to see them. Oh, that was a really long weekend, Caitlin. We're still pretty beat up. It's 3:28 in the a.m. I think we're going to leave you guys with that. I mean, we don't have much left in the tank. So thanks for listening. I took a lot of video this weekend. So I hope you enjoy YouTube's at work and they let you do it. Or you can go home and watch them at night times. And... thanks for spending the weekend with us. I love you. Bye-bye.